Hey everybody, welcome. Oh, come on, man.
Hey everybody.
Hey everybody, welcome to Death Culture Suggestions. I can see you.
Are we going to do a rotating
intro
as well?
No. This is fine. It's fine. It's fine. Hey. You guys just got to stop laughing. Hey everybody, welcome to Death Culture Suggested Reading, a podcast where we read a book and then talk about it. We're in the middle of a three-part post-apocalyptic series, with the books being A Last Babylon, Anthem, and The Road. This week we're on Anthem, so take a minute, read it. It shouldn't take much more than a minute, and enjoy the podcast. Your hosts for the podcast are me, Tanner.
Me, Lacey.
And me, Shug.
All right. Let's get started. What you got, Shug?
Okay. First thing, general impressions on Anthem.
Go, Lacey.
I'll go. I forgot that I actually read the book prior to reading it this past week. But once I got into it, then it all came back to me, and I remember it being good then, and it was good this time.
Yeah, I read it, man, it's probably been 10 years ago. After I read The Fountainhead, I was really interested. So I read Anthem, because it was short and easy, and I liked it then, I like it now. I like post-apocalyptic books, so it's an easy win.
Yeah, I read it, I think, maybe 4 years ago or something like that, sometime during college. And I feel like I got a little bit more out of it this time. I like it. It's a really good book. Very short and easy.
Yeah.
Like a very easy read for how thought-provoking it was.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
General. Big ideas.
Do a short synopsis.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about what the book is about first?
Okay. Anthem, written by Ayn Rand. So yes, that. It is interesting to know that she was like Russian American. So I don't know if that plays into it, but it's a story about a young man who kind of just deals with choices about whether or not to kind of go against the government in this post-apocalyptic era, and kind of how he navigates that and things like that.
And it's interesting that she actually wrote it. Was it 1938?
Yeah,
so right 1938. At the beginning of World War II.
Yeah, and then, and that was in the UK, is that right?
Yes.
And then she rewrote it in 1946, I think is what it was, and when it was published in America. And so it was interesting because she had changed just some words and sentence structure and just different things, which is interesting to see.
Yeah, it was cool because our copy actually has like her handwritten notes of the changes she made from the original printing of it to the U.S. version of it, so it's pretty cool. She was also a philosopher, and an author of several books. Which is funny because she hadn't had much success up to the point of writing Anthem. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Her first big novel. Okay, so general impressions. Who wants to start that?
I will. So there's a lot, I mean, like, what is it?
It's actually big takeaways, sorry.
No, it's okay.
I don't know how to read.
No, yeah, I mean, there's several big takeaways for me. I think part of the big takeaways are tied into all of these books that we're reading right now, and plus some other books that I've read previously or recently, and then some other things that I've been looking at. But big takeaways for me are the individuality aspect of the philosophy of this book is really interesting to me. It's something that I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it, because in some ways I don't believe that you should be selfish. I don't believe in selfishness. I don't believe in self-centeredness, and I don't believe in pridefulness. So, but I don't, at the same time, I do believe that everyone is an individual. And individually created. So I don't believe in forsaking that for the sake of others. So it's, I mean, and I guess that's really the big point that's being made, or that at least that's the way I took it. So there's that, and then there's also the idea that from this book that it's kind of risen up through these other books, but there's a section in here, I'll read it. It says, but I still wonder how it was possible in those graceless years of transition long ago that men did not see whither they were going and went on in blindness and cowardice to their fate. I wonder, for it is hard for me to conceive how men who knew the word I could give it up and not know what they lost. But such has been the story, for I have lived in the city of the damned, and I know what horror men permitted to be brought upon them. Perhaps in those days there were a few among men, a few of clear sight and clean soul who refused to surrender that word. What agony must have been theirs before that which they saw coming and could not stop. Perhaps they cried out in protest and in warning, but men paid no heed to their warning. And they, these few, fought a hopeless battle, and they perished with their banners smeared by their own blood. That's my favorite line in the book. And they chose to perish, for they knew. To them, I send my salute across the centuries and my pity. And so that's one of the big things that I've been thinking about is what... I guess I should just boil it down to a personal level, because I'm reading this book, or I'm reading Uncle Tom's Cabin, or whatever else I'm reading, and I'm kind of like putting myself in the person in the book's position, and asking myself where do I find it acceptable to die, you know, in this situation. What is the purpose of living on in this situation? And is it more important in this situation to die or to live? And by important, I mean like the character in this book, you know, he could have died in defiance of the government. And there's even a character in the book that does do that. But what was better in this book for him to live on in defiance of the government or to die in defiance, you know? And so I think that just, you know, I mean, it's like we talked about last week, you know, with The Last Babylon, we read it and then assume automatically that something's going down. And so we start, like, preparing ourselves for it. Well, for me, that's what I'm I guess that's what I'm thinking is, if something were to happen, if I were to be put in the position of being enslaved or being debased like these people are, at what point do I think it's the right point to die? You know, and will it be impactful if I do? So I think that's a really big, that's one thing that's really been kind of on my mind in all of these books. And then I guess the last big takeaway is just the contrast in the views of community in both of the books. I think it's just...
We'll wait and talk about that at the end.
Yeah, we will. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think that's just another big, big takeaway for me. So, yeah. What about you, Lacey?
I think for me, the big part was just seeing... Because, like, for him, he was raised this way. I mean, this is all that he's ever known. And so, for me, it was the big part was him seeing to the core of himself. He knew that he was different, even though the way he's been taught and the way that the community or the people around him and the things that were told to him how it should happen, he knew that it didn't feel right and he didn't feel right. In that, at the core of who he was, he still knew that there was more to it than what, I guess, essentially people around him were saying. And that was how he treated people, even how he treated people. And then, you know, one of my favorite parts was just, you know, a little romantic part too, is even when he met Liberty, which was the woman in the story, and how he was able to communicate with her and connect with her, although he had never been taught that. He'd never seen that. He'd never been taught that, but he was able to express to her what he thought, I guess, you know, at the core of who he was, to show love and to show that appreciation and affection to other people, although that wasn't what he was taught in his community.
And even though he'd never seen it.
No, like never both, displayed.
Neither of them had ever seen it, but they knew how to show affection, but then also how to interact, like, when they're together. Yeah.
And not only that, just that they automatically had a connection.
Yeah.
And then not only that, with his friend International, that he, you know, he knew that he was different as well, you know, based on what? I don't know, a feeling, maybe a couple of words they've maybe shared with each other, you know
what I mean?
Yeah,
he said that he just liked him because he liked to smile, and he was always happy. He was a joyful person,
which was different. Yeah, that they were able to, because there was no reason to smile. You know what I mean? Unless they gave you a reason to smile, essentially.
Yeah.
And that they were, but even like his friend was like, he said, and when they found the secret tunnel, and his friend was like, he said, "Are you going to tell the council? Basically, are you going to rat me out, because this is means something to me." And he was like, you know, "I'd rather die before I did that." So it's like they already, and I don't know if that was part of, because they were part of a community and they were supposed to be there for their brothers, but essentially he was turning on the community for this one person. So it was almost selfish in a way. Anyway, so what I think it was really interesting to me, at the core of it, people are still people, you know, and people are still good, and people want to be loved, and people want to love, and people want to do essentially what they're made to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, I think my big takeaway, I guess, is just the enjoy the individualism, I guess, if that's a word, kind of aspect that equality has. He's just, once he makes the decision, because I think in the beginning he really is a true believer in the government and the community and the way that they live their lives, and he really does want to help the brothers.
Yeah.
And he believes in, he especially when he talks about the House of Scholars and like the Council, the World Council. He really believes in them and believes that they're helping. That they're helping out. But then when he has to make the decision to be his own person, he's like totally, he's not ashamed of it at all.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I like, just because sometimes I feel like I'm not, I try to be that, like, unashamed to do my own thing.
Yeah.
But also I feel like I'm not as bold as this character is sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's something I aspire to.
That's good.
But also, another favorite part of it is just, like, not quite a big takeaway, just a favorite part was the romantic part of it. Just that kind of relationship was interesting. It was cool. That he kind of makes it, you know. I don't know. I guess it's cool. It's cool because at the end, he talks kind of about building a legacy, really, that he's going to have a child and they're together and he wants to build something bigger. You know, he has that desire, which is cool. So
yeah.
I feel like I have that desire. That's what connected me with him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think to that point and kind of what you said about it and the relationship aspect, and I don't know, this is my understanding of objectivism, which was Ayn Rand's philosophy, is that they kind of shun or disregard anything supernatural. And I don't know, I mean, in a lot of ways I would say that sometimes relationships can be almost supernatural, you know, objectivists also kind of shown the idea of like a collective consciousness, so to speak. So like the way that they communicate non-verbally, because they don't have the verbiage,
yeah,
so to speak. I mean, I don't, you know, it's kind of a self-defeating argument, maybe, but I don't know. It's just interesting that while y'all are bringing that up, it's like, well, they don't believe in this, but then even written into the pages of this book is an understanding that maybe there is more. But also, I think, you know, the individual aspect of it is interesting, is inspiring, like you said, Shug. I've always liked that about Ayn Rand's characters.
Yep.
In general, that, and we've talked about this before, Lacey, about how it's almost like they recognize each other, like they do in this book, you know, like he recognizes all these others that are different. And I think it's, you know, I think we all have that opportunity to be those people. So I don't know. It's just an interesting
thought. Yeah, well, because you think about in the book, so International, his friend, right? And then I think he mentions it, that the street sweepers, like a lot of them, are ones that could have achieved more, right? He feels like he got sent there because he excelled so much in school. And I think I like that there was multiple people that could have done what he did.
Yeah.
There's the man who gets executed, right?
Uh-huh.
For committing this unspeakable crime, and it's like he could have done what equality does, but he did it in his own way. Kind of, I mean, like you were saying, you know, what was it better for him to die for it or not? But
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting aspect of it.
Okay, so there's a... I had this crazy thought in that scene where he talks about the execution. I should wait till Lacey steps back in. But in the execution scene, I was thinking, what if that was his father? What if that was his, you know, his natural... Because he even talks about the house mating or whatever. But what if that was his father?
And that's
why he was looking at him, and he connected with him. Because, like he says, he was specifically looking at him.
Passed it on to him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which is interesting.
That was his dad's.
Yeah.
His dad did have to die in order to encourage him.
Yeah.
Because obviously that scene stuck with him.
That was one of the things that pushed him on. And it kind of runs within the thread of the book, like you were talking about, where he then gets to the house and then he talks about building his legacy. So this is a legacy that goes forward. Back. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So that was interesting. And then I think we all kind of hit on it, but to compare and contrast it to A Last Babylon, how did you guys feel? Because when I read it initially, you know, until the later pages, you know, the last chapter, I was like, man, this is kind of exactly the opposite of our takeaway from A Last Babylon, which was, you know, that really was about community, and they survived based on the backs of the people in the community and off of each other. You know what I mean? They couldn't have survived with each other. And at the end of the day, their purpose was each other, too. Their purpose for surviving was each other. So for me, it was kind of like I was kind of like, man, this is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about it?
So when Tanner said that, it got me to thinking about it. And I was thinking, so we talked about in the last Babylon, we talked about it last week. They had the option to get on the helicopter and go back and kind of try to continue life on as it was, or they chose to turn and, you know, live this new life they had created, right? So I feel like, and it doesn't really talk about the event that happened that, you know, sent the world sent it back to the Stone Ages, but I feel like when people try to hold on to government or a system, the way, you know, after that this event has happened, if they were to have tried, if the characters in A Last Babylon, if you follow that storyline out, right?
Yeah.
It would end up very similar to Anthem. Like, just because when the government's, like, when there's a total upheaval, then there's, like, a power vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things can change really quickly.
Right.
So it can swing from one kind of stable state to an extreme real quick.
Yeah.
For control.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like they do parallel in that way.
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
It's kind of two different
sides of it.
Yeah, two ways that you could go.
Yeah.
You either end up with more of like a tribal kind of community, or it's you're still trying to have this grand community.
Yeah, and that makes sense too, because if you know, if you're kind of blown back into the Stone Age, so to speak, but people still remember, then the remembrance becomes so fuzzy that many generations that it's something that, like you said, it's something that it wasn't.
Yeah, you know? Or even if you look at it on a practical level where there's a catastrophe, right? We're used to the government coming in and taking, like, assuming more power than they normally would have in the wake of an event.
Yeah.
And providing more for you and you accepting more from
them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you look at, I mean, we've all lived through a hurricane. It's not crazy for there to be roadblocks and, you know, curfews and things like that. Like, we don't treat that as a weird thing. So, maybe that's some of those small steps.
Yeah, but maybe we should. Yeah. Like you said, it's those small steps. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm sure I thought about it, but I didn't really snap to it within this. But even, you know, with The Last Babylon compared to this one, The Last Babylon, you know, the government is not available.
Yeah.
Beyond, you know, if you're a National Guardsman or a reserve, you're in charge, you know. But really, it did break down into more of a tribal system, which, I mean, seemed to work a lot better for them, so to speak.
And I guess to contrast what you were saying earlier, too, even about how you were saying how one is for community and one is against community, essentially. But I think, for me, I think what she was saying, not necessarily against community, I think what it was saying against community where you're telling the person how they should be a part.
Yeah.
So, like, in The Last Babylon, Randy, the leader, said he didn't tell everyone what they were going to do. He asked everyone, what are you able to do? How can you help this community? What can you provide for us, essentially, to become a tribe or a whole as a community? Opposed to the other part, where they were telling people what they should do instead of letting them be themselves and be a part of the community. Does that make sense? And I think, essentially, at the end of Anthem, that's what he was doing when he got away. And like you were talking earlier about if it's better to live or to die. And I think in his case, it was better for him to get out and live as a defiance. Because then he was, I think, how I see it is he was able to get those other people out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was able to get the other special people, the other people that were different, out in a community and say, well, what do you really love? What are you really good at? How can we essentially build this new world?
Yeah.
This new part. And he's able to do that against, you know, what they were saying was right or wrong.
Yeah, and I guess within that, you know, attain to the highest level of objectivism, so to speak, which is to kind of become your best self at the thing that you're passionate at about, or the thing that you're good at, or the thing that makes you
that's good.
Feel alive. And so through that thing, through that achieving of your highest self, then you're helping your fellow man, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess that maybe that's what it is. It's not altruism for the sake of altruism, but trying to be your best self to help other people, you know, or as a result, you help other people, you know. Yeah, I think that's good. I think really in the end, I came back around and I was like, well, you know, he talks about his chosen friends, which in The Last Babylon, I think they were, that choice was made based on proximity.
Circumstance
to a certain extent. But even at that, you know, either way, either book, community is what happens in the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's also, I mean, even in The Last Babylon, they end up choosing, like, there's Dan and Randy are a little closer relationship than some of the other people.
Right.
And then, like, you know, people, they end up connecting in different levels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like every community would.
Yeah. Yeah. But And I guess the biggest thing is just not them never feeling like, because what, never feeling like their brother is a burden. So their fellow man is a burden. Because if you live only to serve your fellow man, then they can be a burden.
Yeah.
Not that you shouldn't serve. Not that serving people is a bad thing, but if it's a requirement, I think it loses its meaning. Does that make sense? So if you were required to serve people, then there's no heart behind it. Yeah, it's just a requirement.
It's the difference in if you went and worked at a homeless shelter because you want to help people, or if you went and worked at a homeless shelter because you have to get community service hours.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And your heart is going to be different in that.
And you're going to view a lot of it, all of it differently, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, yeah, I think that's just, yeah, I like that. That idea of, the heart behind, you know, it's the heart behind the serving of others, you know what I mean? So if I think to make, to your point, Tanner, like maybe if objectivism, not to get too far off into this, but is doing what, the best way to live is doing what makes you happy. Well, if you reach the point that you realize that serving others is what's making you happy,
yeah,
then you're living it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've developed your skills to the point that you can help others with it.
Yeah.
Then that's, I mean, I think that's what you should try to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, overall though, I think it's a good book. I think it's just reading the two back to back is really interesting. Even in the story, you know, because we kind of alluded to some other stories last week that are similar to this one in that the, you know, you kind of have these hyper government controlled systems or whatever. I don't know if this is the original, but it's an old one and it's a good one.
Yeah.
And it was good even just to compare that A Last Babylon, you know, how we talked about how it was a lot of detail. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it gave a lot of detail about different things and backstories on different things, and in this one there's not.
Yeah, it's very.
But you still get just as much out of it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying as far as.
Yeah.
As far as thought provoking or thinking or. Who are you as an individual and, you know, kind of thinking. That, not that you would ever really know what you would do in that situation, but maybe, you know, different perspectives of that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just realized that she, like, totally leaves the setting up to you.
Yeah.
As to, like, the I mean, there's no it's no known location.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, plays even more into the whole system that it's like there's no such thing as
or
a
even
place
like,
anymore. You know,
why do they die at 40? Like, why do they die so young?
Yeah.
She never tells you.
Well, I mean, but.
I mean, does she really ever say because of.
I mean, she
says worn
that,
out.
Well, yeah. And she says that their modern medicine is bleeding people.
Yeah.
Like, they went all the way back to the.
I mean,
dark ages.
Yeah.
But I mean, but even then, that not much detail. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, which I like, because you essentially are writing the other part of the book in your brain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're writing what you're seeing, like, what does his cave look like, or what is, do you know what I mean? The scholar house, or what, you know, what did the woods look like? What did the house look, anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, because did it even really, did it, the tunnel, was it a train tunnel, or was
it like a subway tunnel?
That's what I thought. I thought it was either.
Because there's tracks in there.
And yeah, he found the electrical. I thought he did say about tracks.
An electrical box was down there? Yes.
Yeah, so, I couldn't remember if he said tracks or not. That's what I thought of it as. Yeah. But it could have, I mean, there's different ways it meant, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just, as far as that contrast too, I thought that was...
You get to visualize it in your mind a lot more.
It was pretty neat.
I think too, I mean, the big obvious difference in them is that one is... The Last Babylon made me think a lot more... in practical terms of that kind of situation, whereas this makes me think in more metaphysical or philosophical terms the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin, but it's it makes me just think just makes me think in two different ways about the same situation.
Which is interesting.
Which I think next week will be even different, which will be cool.
Absolutely. They'll all three kind of play off with each other nice.
So, anyway, what about final thoughts? Do you have any final thoughts?
I say overall, I mean, it's a short book. It's a good book. I mean, there should be no reason why you shouldn't read it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... it's an easy read, but it's thought-provoking, and so I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially if you're a libertarian, you should read it. But it's short. It's an easy, like Lacey said, you can't really sum it up more than that. It's a short read. It's an easy read. It'll take you a day. I mean, I think I read it in a day, and I'm pretty slow at reading.
Yeah, I read
so.
It. Yeah. It was, what, that night? Four hours?
And yeah.
So,
more than that.
It's worth the read, especially if you want to read Ayn Rand books, too. If you're considering reading some of her bigger books, it'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, it gives you a... If that's what you want to do, it definitely gives you... a different understanding. So when you read the others, you kind of look at it that way.
Yeah, it's a concise.
And if you read the others, it's fun to have another character to play off of. You know.
Yeah.
Kind of that individualism plays through a lot of her books, obviously. But my thoughts, final thoughts. Yeah, it's definitely worth the read. I think it's one that should go on everybody. I mean, you know, kind of one of those books everybody should read if you want to read classical books, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got. I'm excited about the
next
road.
Next week, I know, me too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole different.
And then we were already talking about the week after that, hopefully. Maybe we'll segue out of the
post-apocalyptic
and political for a little bit.
Yeah, and
so
we'll
see.
So we
don't pigeonhole ourselves.
if we read too many of these books too much longer, we'll start digging a bomb shelter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be on the lookout for what our next... reading selection is, and if you happen to hear this, read The Road with us and listen next week.
All right.
Thanks.